Thank you. Amen. Yeah. Good job.
Thank you.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
It's good. Please bow your heads. Most gracious Heavenly Father, there's one word this morning: worship. The more I looked at worship in your word, the more I asked myself, in all honesty, how many times have you really worshiped? I thought I knew what worship was. I had always had an ideal of worship. But when you look at it in your word, it's deep. It's all about a fullness, a level of holiness and obedience and fellowship. A level of accurate facts all about you that draw out real spiritual worship. Forgive us where we come to think at times that I can't really get into worship in a worship service because I might embarrass myself. You can't ever embarrass yourself when you worship God. I don't know exactly, Lord, how to deliver all of this morning. But by the Holy Spirit and His leadership and direction, I've asked Him to help me communicate to you what it is to worship the living God and Jesus Christ under the leadership and direction and power of the Holy Spirit. I pray my worship will be more full. I pray that it will be meaningful as it should be. I pray that our fellowship will grow and grow in our holiness and obedience unto you. I know the more I learn about you, the more I want to worship. So I stand here spiritually naked this morning. Asking for your help in everything said. So I'll not belittle anything. I ask this in Jesus' name, that Hainesville Baptist Church will be known for worship and praise and adoration unto the Lord. And may that spill over on all of us who attend the worship service here. I ask it all to your glory. Amen and amen. I will do my best this morning to communicate to you something that is valuable to me. I hope it is very valuable to you. There have been times that I felt like getting down on my face, getting down on my knees, and crying out to God thank you so much for your salvation. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for your deliverance and your plan of rescue. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 12, where it all got started. You'll notice the title is Praise and Worship. They really go together. I know when you talk about praise and worship in a Baptist church, some of them get goosebumps. Some of them say, "Preacher, have you gone to Assembly of God or Pentecostal on us?" I used to be known as Baptist-costal. You can understand that. I hope you have something to write with. This is a serious message this morning, as they all are, but this one more so. Let's begin. After these things, I looked, and this is what I saw. Underline the word saw. The word saw means I saw with inward spiritual perception those who were subject to persecution and martyrdom. I saw a vast multitude which no one could count. Underline that phrase, which no one could count. And write this note, if you will. The greatest revival in world's history will take place after the rapture. The greatest revival in world history will take place after the rapture. And after these things I looked, and this is what I saw. A vast multitude which no one could count, gathered from every nation and from all the tribes and peoples and languages of the earth, standing before. Underline the word before. Before means we are accountable to God. That's why we are standing before Him. Standing before the throne and before the Lamb, Christ, dressed in white robes. Underline the word white. White symbolizing each one's unique glorification. With palm branches in their hands. Underline that phrase, with palm branches in their hands. It is a reference to victorious worship, to celebration, to deliverance, to jubilation. And in a loud voice, underline that word loud, it means to cry out loudly. There's nothing wrong with enthusiasm in a worship service. There's nothing wrong with enthusiasm and praise and adoration being cried out in a loud voice if it is all spurned by the Holy Spirit of God. Did it begin with Him? Did He give you the desire to do this, to worship the living, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ? I say to you, it's okay to get excited in a worship service in a Baptist church. There's nothing wrong with it at all. Amen. With palm branches in their hands, they express this celebration. And in a loud voice, they cry out loudly, saying salvation. Underline the word salvation. When you talk about salvation, you talk about justification. You talk about sanctification. And you talk about glorification. So they're happy. They're excited. God has saved me. He has justified me. He is sanctifying me. That is a process that will take its course until the day that you die. And then there is that wonderful time and wonderful moment that He brings about glorification, saying salvation belongs to our God. God, Theos, the owner and creator of all things, all that exists. He provides and what? Sustains. He gives life to our God who is seated on the throne. And to the Lamb, our salvation is the Trinity's to give. And to God, the Trinity, we owe our deliverance. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the 24 elders and the four living creatures. And they fell to their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen, so be it. Blessing and glory and majesty and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might belong to our God forever and ever. Amen. Non-negotiable. It is not going to change. Look at number one. Why is the Lamb, Jesus Christ, praised? A, for redeeming a diverse multitude. For redeeming a diverse multitude. All followers of Christ from all ages will reign with Christ during the millennium, the thousand-year reign, including those from the tribulation who have not accepted the mark of the beast. Well, here's question number one. Will racial distinctions and uniqueness be retained in eternity? The answer is yes. And I'm going to read you something I want you to listen to very closely. On the new earth, there will be nations and kings functioning in a national context and bringing their glory and honor into the city. Everyone will come into the New Jerusalem as a highlight of their lives on the new earth. And why not, given its splendor? Then you'll find in chapter 22, verse 2 of Revelation, you'll find this phrase, and you might want to turn there. We're going to answer some questions here in just a moment. The leaves of the tree are for healing the nations. I'll read it again. The leaves of the tree that is mentioned in chapter 22, 2, are for the healing of the nations. Where do the nations come from? And I thought everybody was going to be in a resurrected, glorified body. Wrong. Go back to the Garden of Eden and you find Adam and Eve were not in a resurrected, glorified body. But they were to live forever. Is that correct? Yes. And what was going to help them and sustain them for that to happen? Well, there you go. Here's the question. Why would healing be necessary in the new heaven and new earth? Because there is a group of people who have access to the heavenly Jerusalem, but who do not live there. There is only one group of people left on earth to go into eternity in their physical bodies. Those who were true to Jesus Christ and served Him during His thousand-year reign. Here we go. They go into eternity after the millennium with physical, glorified bodies, not spiritually glorified bodies. So what kind of bodies did Adam and Eve have that was going to enable them to live forever? What did they have? They had physical, glorified bodies. And I want you to get that. I want you to keep it in your head because people ask me that all the time. They go into eternity after the millennium with physical, glorified bodies, not spiritually glorified bodies. That is like Adam and Eve in the garden. These will make up the nations who do not live in the New Jerusalem, but who will have access to the city. They will need the leaves of the tree for their continued health and well-being. All right, let's go back to the printout sheet number one. All right, let's look at the questions. Will racial distinctions and uniqueness be retained in eternity? The Bible says yes. Look at B. This company in verses 9 through 11 causes the angels to hold a heavenly hallelujah hoedown, giving worship and praise and glory. Can I ask you in all honesty, what would happen if we had here at Hainesville Baptist Church a heavenly hallelujah hoedown? What do you think would happen? It would be wonderful and it would be great. Is it okay to clap your hands in a worship service here in this church? It's okay to stand up. It's okay to sing. It's okay to cry out. It's okay to holler a little bit. It's okay to get happy. It's okay to get excited. Now, I'm not saying you work it up. What I'm saying is, let's let out what the Holy Spirit has been working on the inside of us and wanting to bring out to God's praise and to God's glory. I would love to see this happen here at Hainesville Baptist Church. I would love to see a worship service like we've been reading about transform the way we do things here in this church. People need to know you can get excited. People need to know you can get turned on. You guys call it a fifth Sunday singing. And what do? We're going to come and get turned on. We're going to come and do things we don't normally do in a worship service. And people say, I love it. I enjoy it. When are we going to do it again? There's nothing wrong with doing it every time we gather here to have a worship service. Let it out. Let the Holy Spirit do what He wants to do. Let the Holy Spirit just kick it out and have a service unto the living God that puts chill bumps on you, that makes people want to come here and just come before Jesus Christ and say, I love you, and hold your hands up and say, I adore you. I have come to praise and worship you in the name of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. By the empowering of the Holy Spirit. It is real, it is sincere, and I want all the fullness of God. Because the more fullness of God that I have in me, the more fullness of worship that is going to come out in all reality and absolute truth. Amen and amen. Okay, here we go.
Amen.
Now, what would cause these angels, elders, and living creatures to burst forth in such ecstasy? What is it? Intense joy and delight. Intense joy and delight. Do you have any joy in the Lord? Do you have any delight in the Lord? Well, there's seven things I want you to listen that gives us reason to be happy. Number one, they are before God's throne. Are you happy this morning? You should be. Why? Because we're here in a room together. And you know what? We are here before the throne of Almighty God. And it means that we have come here to be accountable unto Him. Number two, they serve in God's temple day and night. And that is a privilege that God gives them. You are here by privilege. You are here by privilege, and you have brought with privilege a great responsibility to love the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And as you're loving Him, may it spill over, and those around you will feel and be filled with the love of Almighty God that is filling you at that moment. Number three, God grants them His favor and protection. Is that worthy of praise and thanksgiving and adoration? Yes, it is. It's a time to get happy. God favors me. God protects me. Then number four, they no longer hunger or thirst. You know what? I'm so full of God, I'm not hungry for anything else. I am so full of God that I am not thirsty for anything else. Have you been there? Have you been there? How full are you right now of the glory of God? How full are you right now of praise and adoration? How full are you right now? Your fullness is going to determine your level of anticipation unto the living God. There is number five. The elements can no longer hurt them. The elements can no longer hurt them. Do you see why they're so happy? Do you see why they wave the palm branches? Do you see why they're so excited? Usually we say, well, you know what? That's what you're going to do in heaven. Let me tell you something. If you have the fullness of God within you, why are you waiting? You should have that heavenly sense within you. Brother, when the fullness of God is in you and it's moving through you, it is pushing things out that are of the flesh. It is Almighty God that we are here to serve so we can learn about Him. Here we go. The elements can no longer hurt them. God will shepherd and nourish them. Don't you get excited when you find out that God is going to shepherd you, that God is going to nourish you? And then the last thing, God will relieve all your sorrows. I know I'm in the flesh. I know I'm on planet Earth. But do I have to sorrow for anything? The answer is no, I do not. And as a result, I praise the living God. Because when I choose and desire to receive Him in all His fullness, why should I be sorry for anything? For God is my shepherd. God is leading me. He is leading me into the path that I want to walk, and I want to shout, and I want to sing, and I want to praise. My friends, it is time for the people of God to get happy in Jesus Christ and praise Him and worship Him and realize who He is. Here we go. They worship the Lamb. And what is worship? For believers, to worship is recognizing God's absolute worth. How worthy is God in your life? Do you get up every day? You get up every day and do what you do and get ready to go out the house and do what you do. Do you ever take time during the day? And we're going to get to that here in just a moment. And say, Heavenly Father, I want to thank You of how worthy You are in my life today. And how worthy You're going to make everything that I'm going to come in contact with. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for absolute truth. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for absolute reality. And thank You, Heavenly Father, for Your worthiness that puts me down on my knees and says, I love You. I love You. Forgive me. Help me today to be the Son of God that You want me to be. I ask this in Jesus' name, and it is all to Your glory. Point one, our worship reveals nothing about God. Does that surprise you? Our worship reveals nothing about God, but everything about us. Everything about us. Number two, praise, worship to God reveals, now get this, our level of likeness. Our level of likeness of nature. It is a level, listen to this, of happily serving and working for Jesus Christ. Hang on. Praise, worship to God reveals our level of happily serving and working for God. Our level of accurate facts. Our level of holiness. When you get involved in worship, you've got to get this. Praise, worship to God reveals our level. What is the level of accurate facts of God in your life? Is it a low level? Is it a medium level? Is it a high level? What is the level of God's holiness in your life? What is the level of God's fellowship in your life? And what is the level of obedience in your life? If the level is up here where it should be, you're going to have an awesome time in worshiping the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Here we go, number three. Worship reflects our own personal transformation or lack of it. If there's not much worship, there's not much transformation in your life as a child of God, and it will be revealed. Page two. Number four. Worship refers to the willingness to bow down. How willing are you to bow down before the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, oh heck, it's just another day. I'm going to let it go. And then we go further in that day. I haven't prayed. I haven't stopped to thank God how worthy He is. Worship refers to the willingness. Who gives you the willingness to bow down before God? It is the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 5:18. You know it well. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled, controlled, divinely persuaded by the Holy Spirit of God. You can't make it happen. It is not automatic in the Christian life. Worship refers to the willingness brought on by the divine persuasiveness and yieldingness to that of the Holy Spirit of God. Worship refers to the willingness to bow down oneself before God, to be more conformed to the image of Christ through faith. And what is faith? Faith is trust. Faith is confidence. Faith is responding to divine persuasion in you. Listen, You can't worship unless you are first divinely persuaded to do so. It is an act of God. It only comes about by the Holy Spirit. Worship refers to the willingness to bow down oneself before God, to be more conformed to the image of Christ through faith. Number five, worship literally means assign worth. Assigned worth. Acknowledge what deserves praise. Number six, when does true worship happen? When we experience likeness of nature with God by His transforming grace. Is God changing you? Are you more like Jesus Christ today than you were yesterday? Seven, the Holy Spirit Himself energizes true worship. True worship. Reread it. The Holy Spirit, you got to understand that one, Himself energizes you, energizes true worship by inbirthing faith. So worshiping God reveals the extent to which we have already been transformed into His likeness. Worship is the instant response to breathing in God's inbreathing. Hang with me. Which is living in the dimension of the Holy Spirit. Are you, as a child of God, living on a supernatural plane at this moment? If you are living in the dimension of the Holy Spirit, you are living on a supernatural plane. You are living by divine persuasion. And this happens to all yielded believers. John 20:22. And when He said this, He, who is He? Jesus Christ, breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, number one, what did Jesus show His disciples? Two things, His nail wounds and His pierced side. His nail wounds and His pierced side. These two things had not been removed from His resurrection body. Is there a reason for that? Will all believers see these things one day? The answer is yes. Who will be the only scarred person in eternity? None other than Jesus Christ Himself. And these two things will be a forever reminder of the price He paid for you on the cross on Calvary over 2,000 years ago. What did Jesus do by Himself and the Father and the Holy Spirit? They paid your sin debt in full. Good old Baptist, remember, don't ever forget. When somebody says, how are you saved? And you've been taught all your life, you've got to confess your sins. And you know what I'm fixing to say? You can't remember all your sins. It would be an incomplete confession. The word repent is metanoeo. It means a change of mind, a change of thinking that leads to a change of decision and a change of behavior that will bring about salvation. Your sins have been dealt with by Jesus Christ. So you're trying to say, I've got to remember this sin. I've got to remember that. Oh, Lord, I can't remember all of them. He says, that's okay. I've already taken care of them, period. To come to me and be saved, your unbelief must be changed into belief in me. And when you do that and realize I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me, that is non-negotiable. When you hear that and receive that and believe that, you're saved, saved, saved. Now, are you ready to worship like these guys that you've been reading about? They say to the living God, thank you so much. Worthy of praise are you for our salvation, our justification, our sanctification, our glorification. Salvation is not just walking the aisle and say, I want to be saved. Salvation is a lifestyle to be lived unto the glory of Almighty God. Amen? Thank you. Question. What is the most loving command God can give to us? Worship Him. Worship Him. John 20:22. And when he said this again, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Though John 20:22 does not use the term worship, it illustrates how it works. True worship is the automatic reflex. I hear people say, I've got to get worked up to worship. Let me tell you something. If the level of fullness in you, if the level is on the rise, if the level is coming where it should be, there will be no what? Something that you have to get worked up. Brother, you can worship right outside this door. You can worship in your automobile when you get in it every morning. You can worship the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ with your lips. You can worship Him in anywhere you go, any place you go, any place you find yourself. You can worship. And you don't have to say, I got to get stirred up here. How do I do this outside on the porch? Let me tell you something. Where you need to be with Jesus Christ, if you're where you need to be with Jesus Christ, it just pops out. It just comes out. It is automatic right there. Here we go. John 20:22 does not use the term worship. It illustrates how it works. True biblical worship is the automatic reflex of breathing in Christ's breath. In other words, breathing in His inbreathing. God shares His very breath. What is the breath of God? It is the Spirit of God in us. So we can worship in spirit and we can worship in truth. In this way, the Lord gives Himself away as He transforms our physical body to serve as the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now listen, the body is the divinely appointed vehicle for worshiping God. By living out the faith, He, the Holy Spirit, works in through the physical body. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is within you? Make this note if you like. A Christian's body is a house of worship. A Christian's body is a house of worship. You are the temple of Almighty God. So therefore, wherever you go, wherever you are, you take church with you. Wherever you go, wherever you are, you take church with you. You are the temple of Almighty God. And why is the Holy Spirit within you? He's cleaning up the temple area. He's cleaning it up. He's cleaning it up. He'll never get it perfectly clean, but He'll clean on it until the day that you die. That's why every day should be a better day, a more powerful day of worship, thanksgiving, adoration, and praise unto God. I got cleaned up over here. There's more worship. I'm cleaned up over here. There's more worship. I'm cleaned up over here. He's working on me. I'm cleaned up everywhere. You know what? God is just working on the inside of me by the Holy Spirit. And the more the Holy Spirit works, the more I yield to it, the more of the fullness of God fills me and not Terry Davis. And you know what comes out? The more worship unto the living God comes out. Did you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is within you? And let me tell you something else. We are not owners, but we are stewards of our bodies. Amen. We are not owners, but we are stewards of our bodies. Whom you have received as a gift, the Holy Spirit is a gift from God. And when you are saved, you get all the Holy Spirit there is to get. It is a gift from God, and that you are not your own property. You were bought with a price. You were actually purchased with the precious blood of Jesus and made His own. So then honor and glorify God with your body. Well, let's go to page 3. Question at the top of page 3. What is the opposite of worship? Living in the flesh. Brother, if you're not worshiping, you have a low level of obedience. Remember, your level of obedience, if it is up here where it should be, produces high worship. Your high level of fellowship with God. You know what that means? I talk with Him every day about everything. There's nothing we don't talk about. You talk to Him every day about everything. You have a level of what? Fellowship with Him. And the higher the level of fellowship, the more full of the worship is going to be. Holiness set apart unto Him to be used for His work and divine glory. Living in the flesh, the self life instead of the God life. So you can live in the flesh or you can live the God life. Will there be a physical temple in the New Jerusalem? No, there won't. Will there be formal worship? No, there won't. There will be no formal worship because worship will be a continuous reflex of glorified believers. Read it in the Word of God. Who's going to be the temple? It will be none other than Jesus Christ Himself. And He will illuminate and light up everything where the sun can't shine and there'll be no sun. He will be the light of it all. Revelation 21:22. I saw no temple in it. For the Lord God Almighty, the omnipotent, all-powerful, the ruler of all, and the Lamb are its temple. So there is no temple in eternity. There is no temple in eternity. Revelation 4:9-11. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanksgiving to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne, and they worship Him who lives forever and ever, and they throw down their crowns before the throne, saying, Worthy are You, our Lord and God, to receive the glory and the honor and the power, for You created all things, and because of Your will they exist and were created and brought into being. Question number one, is worship a duty? The answer is no. It is the automatic action or reaction of our spirit as we reflect. Underline the word reflect. I got a new word for you. Is worship a duty? No. It is the automatic action of our spirits as we dissolve into His likeness. What happens when you put Alka-Seltzer in a glass of water and you're the Alka-Seltzer? It dissolves until you see it no more. That's the goal. That we dissolve until we are no longer in the flesh anymore. But it won't happen down here. But it's coming. Black Lives Matter. Woke. Antifa. Read the Bible. That's your problem. You haven't read the Bible. You're trying to make us all separate, distinct. Jesus says, one day we will truly dissolve into the people of God. That's what's to be going on here. Dissolve. And how do you do it? Ephesians 5:18. It'll get it done. Well, here's the point. God allows the yielded believer to know His fullness. I hope you have something to underline. God allows, here's the key, the yielded believer to know His fullness to the level matching their level of allness. Now here's what it's saying. Allness. Loving the Lord out of the entire heart, soul, mind, and strength. If your heart is full, if your soul is full, if your mind is full, and your strength is full, that will give you the level of fullness in worship. You know why? If these are all full, there's no room for you. Expressions of true worship require allness that is consecrating our entire being. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help us change from just walking in this building with a nonchalant attitude, but realizing we are coming before God, the one who we are accountable to. And that our hearts and souls and our mind and our strength will be so full, it will overflow in fullness. And we will worship according to that fullness that is so beautiful, so filling, and yet exciting at the same time. Forgive us for not being as appreciative as we should be and should have been in all the blessings you've given us. Your death, burial, and resurrection. Salvation. Thank you so much. Fill us up till we overflow with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.
Come, Holy Spirit. Fall afresh on me. Fill me with your power. Satisfy my needs. Only you can make me whole. Give me strength to make me grow. Come, Holy Spirit. Fresh on me. Come, Holy Spirit, please fall fresh on me. Fill me with your power. Satisfy my need. Only you can make me whole. Give me strength to make me grow. Come, Holy Spirit, fall afresh on me.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. What a great word this morning. I want to welcome our guests. If you're visiting Haynesville Baptist, there's a little perforated tab in your worship folder. Please fill that out and place it in our offering plates. We receive our tithes and offerings at the conclusion of our service as you exit, and that would be a place where you drop that in. That would be great. The Youth Super Bowl Party. That's going to be a fun time. I wish I could come. But Brother Chris is going to have a Super Bowl party. Lots of good stuff going to be happening at 5 o'clock. Make sure you come, and you guys are going to have a great time. I know you will. Our refuel midweek services are scheduled. We got Team Kids, Bible study, and the youth, and the First Praise Choir starts back this Wednesday. Got to get ready for Easter, so make sure you come. We need all hands on deck. Game night is February 19th at 5. If you're a 42 player, they're going to some other games as well. Lots of good times. Bring finger foods. That's what they want you to do. That's your ticket into the door. Finger foods. Ladies, spring luncheon, Southern Grace. That is going to be a great, great time. Becky, how we doing on tickets? We good? Okay. All right. So make sure you grab your tickets, ladies. It's going to be a great time. And Charlie, I don't think is here, but it's his birthday. Is Charlie here? I didn't think so. Okay. on the 18th. So if you think about him, pray for him. And if you got his number, text him. Tell him happy birthday. All right. We stand and close our service this way. We sing this great statement of our faith. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit. And he's given us.